Here's our thesis statement for today. A Christ follower follows Jesus regardless. A Christ follower follows Jesus regardless. Okay? Now, I didn't put the word Christian because I like the word Christian, but people have messed that word up so it really doesn't mean anything anymore, right? You can be a Christian just because you're an American. At least that's what people in the Mideast think. Everybody in America is a Christian. That's why they hate us so much, because they watch TV, see things on the internet and say, that's what Christians do? I don't want to be a Christian. Well, and even here, when they take surveys and say, are you a Christian? A lot of people will say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And they'll do surveys and ask how many people are, like the other week we talked about divorce statistics. And 50% of marriages end in divorce. Remember that statistic? Half of all marriages end in divorce. We also found out 66% of second marriages end in divorce and 75% of third marriages end in divorce. And people will ask questions and say, well, are you a Christian? In a survey, and they'll respond, yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay, so half of all Christian marriages end in divorce. But they don't answer, or they don't ask the next question, which is, do you go to church? Oh, well, no, I really don't go to church. Oh, okay. Do you read your Bible? No. Oh. Do you pray? Only when people pull out in front of me. And sometimes it has profanities and sometimes not. Right? Okay. So you don't pray. You don't go to church. You don't read the Bible. How are you a Christian exactly? Right? And people say, I'm a Christian, but I don't do any of those things. Well, to bring clarity, I want to say a Christ follower. That's somebody who really follows Jesus. That's what a Christian should be, but unfortunately that's not necessarily true. So we want to say a Christ follower. Another word I like is disciple. A disciple. Someone who follows Jesus. Not one of the 12 capital D disciples, but one of the many who have come after Jesus, lowercase d disciple. And that's what we should all be. When Jesus says you'll go and make disciples, we should be those disciples. A Christ follower will follow Jesus regardless of what happened. When we read that passage earlier in John 12, we saw that those people came and they worshiped Jesus. Jesus was entering into the city. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. But nobody else knew that. They just looked and saw the king was coming. The king was coming. Jesus was coming as a humble servant king. That's why he was riding on a donkey. Some of the people, including a few of his disciples, thought, Jesus should be on the big white horse. Jesus should be marching in to destroy the Romans. And here he is riding on a donkey. But they still worshipped him because he is God, of course. And the people began to worship him and they would lay down the palm branches before him. A Christ follower follows Jesus regardless of circumstances. Here's my thought with this, okay? They were expecting Jesus to come and overthrow the Romans. As Pastor Bobby alluded to earlier, they wanted Jesus to come in and conquer their enemies so that way they would be free. If you know anything about New Testament history, you know that the Jews were occupied by the Romans. God's people were occupied by the Romans. The Romans came in, they controlled the area. They did whatever they wanted to do to the Jews, including taxes and whatever they wanted to do. They would just take their stuff and treat them poorly. It would be kind of like here if, say, the evil Canadians came and attacked us. Okay? Actually, we joke about that because everybody's, why are you laughing at the Canadians? It's not right. But no, think of if you can go back to the 80s, you remember the Cold War, Russia, United States, Rocky IV, remember those days, right? Think of what would have happened if actually the Russians invaded. You could think of them because they were, if you're old enough, they were the big evil ones everybody talked about. And what if they were driving tanks down the street and we were totally occupied by the Russians? How would you feel towards them, right? You would be angered. You would be embittered. Because we're in the middle of a war. Although, if they just controlled us and the war was over, it would be a bad thing. Well, that's exactly how the Jews felt. They were occupied by the Romans. If Jesus is the Messiah, they thought, He should come in and defeat our enemies. He should wipe them all out. He should nuke them, right? He should just destroy them so that way we can be free. And they worshiped Jesus and they laid down palm branches and they had these expectations of what He was going to do. And between Sunday and Friday, something changed. Between Palm Sunday and that Friday, which we'll celebrate this Friday, Good Friday, we're not having Wednesday Bible study, by the way, if you missed that in a bulletin, we're doing Friday, Good Friday service in place of that. This, between Sunday and Friday, something changed. These people had an expectation of that Jesus would overthrow the Romans, and guess what? Jesus didn't do it fast enough. Sunday, they worshiped Him. Come in, here He is, here's our King. I don't know why He's on the donkey, but we'll worship Him anyway. And Sunday night, all right, it's on. Let's go, Jesus. You didn't kill Pilate yet. Let's go. You didn't kill the Herods. You didn't overthrow the Romans. Okay, Monday morning. Maybe today's the day. Come on, Jesus. Right? Jesus is preaching. Jesus is teaching. Jesus isn't fighting anybody yet. Monday night came. They're still occupied. Tuesday. Come on, Jesus. Tuesday afternoon. I don't know what's up. My expectations were He was going to defeat the Romans. He better do something today. Tuesday night. See, they didn't realize that Jesus was coming to conquer their biggest enemy. What's that? Sin. Because Jesus didn't want them to just be set free from the Romans today and then go to hell forever. He wanted them to be set free from the bondage of Satan. That they wouldn't enjoy freedom for 5 or 10 years. They would enjoy freedom for eternity. But Jesus didn't meet their expectations. Their circumstances, because Jesus didn't answer the prayers the way they wanted, they turned on Him. Right? Do you see that? Because Jesus didn't answer the prayers the way that they wanted, they turned on Him. Let's pause for a second. Have you ever turned on Jesus because He didn't answer your prayers the way that you wanted Him to? Have you ever said, Jesus, I pray that You do this, and then when Jesus doesn't do that the way you want, you say, I guess Jesus isn't good. I guess Jesus doesn't love me. And we act like spoiled children in a supermarket line when our parents don't buy us a Twix. Have you seen those kids? I want a Twix. Can't have a Twix. I want a Twix. Can't have a Twix. I want a Twix now! Be like, dude, it's on. But some parents, okay, stop. Here's your Twix. And we scream until we get what we want. And some of us, though, do that to God. Where we'll follow Jesus until our circumstances don't come the way we thought they would. I told you, sometimes people, they're 6 months behind on their rent. They come to church and say, I'll try Jesus. I'll repeat the prayer. Amen, Jesus, save me. And then they walk out the door and they find out they're still 6 months behind on their rent. So they leave Jesus. Right? Because they wanted Jesus to pay their bills for them. Because Jesus is nothing more than a band-aid, and if he doesn't do what they want him to do and heal the way they want him to heal, they turn their back on him and walk away. Isn't that terrible? Have you done that? I think we would probably all say, all of us at some point in our lives have questioned our faith because we didn't get what we wanted. With our nighttime devotions, at our house, we get together, we read the Bible before bed, and I have the Action Bible, the awesome comic book Bible. You have one, right, Leo? We're reading that with my daughter every night. Awesome Bible. If you haven't seen it, you need to pick up a copy. It's fantastic. We're reading through Joseph. And last night was where Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And my daughter wants to skip and keep reading till the end. She don't like to leave it hanging with Joseph in slavery. Right? They just sold Joseph. Wow. Well, we need to keep reading, Dad, until he's set free. No, wait. It didn't work that way. Joseph at some point was sold over. He was thrown in a hole and he was sold to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians threw him in the caravan and marched him into Egypt. Well, they weren't Egyptians, actually. They were going to Egypt, but they marched him into Egypt as a slave. And Joseph didn't know that God was going to do all that happens at the end of the story. At this point in the story, if you could stop, pause the tape, pause the DVD, take a still snapshot of this situation, it's a hopeless situation for Joseph. It's hopeless. But guess what? God was still in control. We read the passage and said, what can we learn from this? We know the end. We know that Joseph ultimately is raised up to power and he helps with the famine. Remember the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of nothing. And he helps many, 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 many people survive the famine. And then at the end of the story, he tells his brothers, what you meant for evil, God used for good. And used Joseph. We know that's a happy ending. But at this point, we didn't know that when Joseph was first sold into slavery. My big point was this. We can trust God that he's still in control, even when it looks like he's not. Did you hear me? We can trust that he's still in control, even if it doesn't look like he is. Even if it looks like Jesus has forgotten you. He has not forgotten you if you're a Christian and if you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, if you read the Bible, go to church, you have a relationship with Jesus, you can know that he loves you and you can know that he will work all things out for the good, right? That's what the Bible says. Romans 8:28, I believe. He'll work all things out for the good for those who love him and live according to his purposes. You know that. These people, they didn't follow God when the circumstances didn't go the way that they thought. For us, I want to say today on this Palm Sunday, let's follow Jesus. Even what? Even if it looks dark. Amen? Even if it looks dark. Even if it looks like you might not have a place to live, the Lord knows. Even if the tow truck is backing up to your car to tow it away, Jesus is God. Jesus is King, right? Okay? We will follow Him regardless of our circumstances. You don't know how many times that saddens me as a pastor to look out and I see people and I know what's happening in their lives. And they walk away from Jesus when their circumstances change. Sometimes it's when things get bad they walk away from Jesus. But can I tell you, a lot of times it's when things get good is when they walk away from Jesus. You don't know how many people we prayed for that God would bless them and give them a job. And when God gives them a job, they're gone. And they don't have time for Jesus anymore. And they can be faithful for a long time. And when Jesus gives them a job, they don't have time for Him anymore. and they're gone. Isn't that sad? Circumstances changed, so they left him. Not good. Moving on. A Christ follower follows Jesus regardless of circumstances and regardless of other people. Regardless of other people. This is where I'm going to ask you to turn back in your Bibles to John 19. It's page 827 if you have one of our Bibles. If you have your own, it's John 19. You have to get your own page number for that. John 19. We're going to read and look at what happened with other people. John 19, we'll start at verse 1. To give you context, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. At this point in the passage, Jesus was arrested. He was brought before Pilate. Pilate was a ruler in the area who had the power to execute Jesus or not. They turned on Jesus because the religious leaders didn't like him. They turned on Jesus because everybody else saw that he wasn't meeting their circumstances. He wasn't meeting their expectations, rather. And we pick it up in John 19, verse 1. With what happened here. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. Okay, flogging is whipping. They would strap you down to like a big rock, right? Have you seen The Passion of the Christ? This is probably one of the worst parts of the movie. They would strap you down and tie you tight to a big boulder to stretch out your ligaments in your back, right? And then they would get a whip that had all kinds of ends on it, like, I don't know if you call it fingers or whatever. It would go out, and it would have pieces of lead, pieces of glass, and pieces of bone that after they had you all laid out, the man would bring it back and whip you and throw it hard into your back or into whatever it grabbed. Many times it would come around and go into your ribs, and it would just go everywhere. And then they would do this, pull it tight a little bit to make sure it's embedded when the hunks of glass and bone would go into your flesh and dig in with a little jerk. And once it was set in, like a fish on a hook, you would pull it to set it. Once it's set into your back, they would pull and rip out muscle and many times rip out bone. In Jesus' case, we know they didn't rip out bone, but they flogged people all the time, and many people would die being flogged. They would do it repeatedly, I think around 39 times, something like that, 40 times. They would continue to beat you, and the things could get in your face, it could get anywhere. So when you read this sentence of what Jesus endured, it's a quick sentence, but it wasn't a quick event. You can read it pretty painlessly, but it was not painless. Side note before we move on. How did those whippings go for Jesus? It was bad, right? The Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. Okay? Not to get too far off track, but when we pray for healing, we believe Jesus heals. Okay? And Jesus heals because of what He paid for that day. He took the punishment that our healing deserved. We only have sickness in this world. Why? Because of Adam and Eve. There was no sickness before that. Sickness is a result of sin. I don't mean like in your life personally, but universally, nobody would ever have been sick or died if it was not for sin. Jesus paid for that, that day. Right here in this sentence. And I also want to say, if you need healing, we pray for healing. We don't just pray that Jesus can heal if Jesus would like to heal. We don't just pray, you know, if Jesus has the ability to heal. Jesus heals, period. And He is able to heal because of this, because of what He went through. Now, God is God. He gets to choose how He heals and when He heals. Sometimes we pray and Jesus heals right here, right now. Sometimes we pray and Jesus heals a little bit later. Sometimes we pray and Jesus heals through a doctor or surgery. Sometimes we pray and Jesus heals after the people die and they go to heaven. It's His prerogative. He's God. But Jesus heals. Isn't that good? By His stripes we are healed. So if you need healing, I want you to know that Jesus can heal. And He paid a lot for your healing. And that's why many times when we pray, we say, Jesus, You paid for the healing. By Your stripes we have healed. We have been healed. Can I see hands of those who you personally have been healed by Jesus of something? Can I see your hands today? How many, though, in addition to that, keep your hands up, you know somebody close to you who have been healed by Jesus? That's because of this verse. Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's move on. Verse 2. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on His head. They put a purple robe on Him. Hail, King of the Jews, they mocked as they slapped Him across the face. Verse 4. Pilate went outside again and said to the people, I am going to bring Him out to you now. But you understand clearly that I find Him not guilty. Then Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said, Look, here is the man. Verse 6 is what I want you to notice. When they saw Him, the leading priests and the temple guards began shouting, Crucify Him! Crucify Him! The religious leaders that didn't like Jesus at all began to shout, Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Jump down to verse 13. They took Jesus back, began to mock Him some more and question Him. At verse 13, we're going to pick it up again. When they said this, it says, Pilate brought Jesus out to meet them again. Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat on the platform that is called the stone pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Verse 14. It is now noon on the day of the preparation for the Passover, and Pilate said to the people, Look, here is your king, and now here is the crowd, more people than there was before. Ready? Away with Him, they yelled. Away with Him! Crucify your king! What? Crucify your king? Pilate said. We have no king but Caesar, the leading priest shouted back. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. Verse 15, we see that other people joined in the mocking of Jesus. Did you see that? That you have, you know, the religious leaders, they hated Jesus. They said, crucify Him. Yet all of the people who Jesus didn't fill their circumstances found themselves joining in, shouting, crucify Him. Crucify Him. They were steered by other people that didn't like Jesus and began to join in with them. Does this happen today? Are there people who they sit on the fence, they say they're Christians, maybe they go to church, and then all of a sudden when they're around a mob of people who don't act like Christians, they give in and act like the other people. They give in. That they deny Jesus by their, maybe not by their words then, but absolutely by their lifestyle. This happens all the time. Have you ever done that? Have you ever turned your back on Jesus and stopped following Him because of other people around you? It could be on the job, it could be at a family party. When all of a sudden there's people there, they don't love Jesus, and the conversation gets nasty, and you don't stand up for Jesus, or you don't even walk away. You just sit there and join in. You just sit there and join in. You laugh at the nastiest jokes that you wouldn't want your pastor seeing you laugh at. You forget Jesus is watching you laugh at that. Right? You do things you shouldn't do. Do you have friends and family members who aren't Christians and you're praying that they come to Jesus, but when you're around them, you're living just like they are? Do you understand they're never going to want your Jesus if you're not different from them? Do you understand that? If you're exactly like your friends and family, and you cuss the same way, and you act the same way, and you drink the same way, and everything is the same thing, they would rather play golf on Sundays. Or they'd rather go fishing or sleep in. Because they'll look at you and say, "You're the same as me. You just have something you do every Sunday at 10 and I'm free. But your life is no different than mine." A Christ follower follows Christ regardless of circumstances and regardless of other people. That when the crowd shout, "Crucify Him," we're not tempted to join in with that crowd. We'll say, "That's not for me. I won't participate in that. Because I follow Jesus if He doesn't answer my prayers the way I want Him to. And I follow Jesus even if my loved ones desert Him. I will still follow Jesus." Why? Because Jesus is King. Amen? If that's you, if you've denied Jesus at some point in your past, can I say I've done that as well? That we've lived a different life around people who aren't Christians? That maybe there was a time when you know God spoke to you to share something and you didn't because you were a coward? We'll call it what it is. It's cowardice, right? I want to say if that's you, then let's pray. Jesus, help me to not be a coward anymore. That this day is the day that I will follow You regardless of my circumstances and regardless of other people. Because I'm not a Christian as the world uses the term. I am a follower of Christ and I really mean it. And I will live for Jesus. Right? You can live for Him. If that's you, if you failed Him before, Jesus will forgive you. He will wash you clean of all of your sins. Today, He will completely forgive you. He will do that, and you can trust Him. We have one more passage to look at. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the way to the cross. As He's riding, He's thinking of the cross. He's looking at the cross. He rode in as a humble servant, riding on a donkey, because He knew He would serve us. He would be a humble servant to us and pay for our sins when He didn't have to. If you don't know the gospel story, our sin keeps us separated from God. Somebody had to pay for our sins. The Bible says we die forever, which is hell. It never stops. It's bad forever. That's where we were destined to go. Unless somebody pays for our sins, we have to pay for them. Jesus lived a life without sin, fully God, fully man, died an innocent man on the cross for our sins and rose again to defeat death, hell, and the grave. That's awesome, isn't it? If you're able, come out Good Friday. We're going to have about an hour-long service. We're going to participate in communion on Friday and celebrate what Jesus did for us. And maybe celebrate isn't really the word. Celebrate is Easter. Maybe remember what Jesus did for us. And worship Him and revere Him. It'll be Friday night at 7, different time. I believe it's a 7 in your bulletin. Jesus rode in as a servant. But guess what? Can I say something? Jesus is coming back again. Amen? Jesus is coming back again. He rode into Jerusalem as a servant on the donkey to pay for the sins of the world. He died, rose again, ascended into heaven. He's coming back again. And guess what? This time He's riding a different animal. This time Jesus is going to look a little bit different. If you have your Bibles, turn to... Never mind, we're skipping that passage. That was probably good though. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. Right near the very end of your Bible. 690 if you have one of ours. 960 rather. A little bit of dyslexia, I guess. I'm reading it backwards though, so. Okay. Verse 11 through 16. This is Jesus' return. Ready? Verse 11. John says this. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider, let me give you a hint, is Jesus. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for He judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on His head were many crowns. A name was written on Him that no one understood except Himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and His title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest pure white linen, followed Him on white horses. From His mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. Okay? Let's just look at that last part. He will unleash the wrath of God like juice flowing from a wine press. Here's the picture of Jesus who is nothing like Jerry Garcia, as some people think, right? He's a hippie guy who walked around long hair, robe, wore sandals. That's not who Jesus was. Jesus is the King of all kings, right? He is the warrior king who, when the time is right, He will come back, and guess what's going to happen to His enemies? They will be thrown in a pile, the picture is, and just like you would throw grapes in a pitcher and stomp them and mash them until the juice overflowed the walls, the Bible says that Jesus will take His enemies and He will stomp them and He will mash them until their blood overflows the walls and down the street and you can't even be contained anymore. He will conquer all His enemies swiftly, right? Completely. Amen? Isn't that good? That He's victorious. This isn't a Jesus who's going to try to come in and like have a peace treaty with the devil. It's done. He's the conquering king, right? It'll be final. Final. When He comes back, He's coming back on what? A white horse, right? He's coming back, His robe dipped in blood. The blood of the Lamb. His blood that paid for the world, and He will come back and He will conquer. Amen? Last verse. On His robe at His thigh was written this title. What? King of all kings, Lord of all lords. Think of any political leader, Jesus is their boss. Jesus is their boss. He is the King of all kings. Whether they acknowledge Him or not, doesn't matter. He is the boss. He is the Lord of all lords. The boss of all bosses. No one's in charge of Jesus. And He will come back and He will conquer and He will rule and He will reign. And guess what? We will follow Him regardless. We will follow Him regardless. Whatever circumstance you face, know He's the King of all kings and He has it under control. Right? When it seems darkest, That doesn't scare Jesus. They say it's always darkest before dawn. All I know is this. Jesus is in charge. And He's coming back. And no matter what you're going through, He will help you through it. He will be there. And you will be okay. Well, what, Pastor, if it kills me? You will be okay. Amen. Right? If you love Jesus, you'll be okay. What if it kills me? You're going to be better than ever. Right? Heaven is a good thing. Jesus is a good God. We serve Him regardless of circumstances, regardless of other people. In John 15, Jesus says, other people are going to hate you because they hated me. That's what Jesus said. Is it easy to live for Jesus? Sometimes it's not. But I want you to know it's worth it all. And I want you to know that we will worship Him and exalt Him because He is our God. And we will worship Him with all that we have. Let's not be like the people that worshiped Jesus the first time and denied Him a couple days later. Let's not do that. Let's worship Jesus in anticipation of His return. And let's live for Him forever. Can we do that? Amen. And can I tell you it's worth it all? It's worth it all. Don't be too busy for Jesus. Because the world is too hard without Him. You need Jesus. Don't be too busy to pray. You don't have time not to pray. Because your challenges are so hard. Let's not go to Jesus and question Him when our circumstances don't match up the way we want, like spoiled children at ShopRite. Let's not do that. Let's worship Him as God, as King of all kings, Lord of all lords, who loves us, who has what's best for us. And we'll worship Him whether we get what we want, and we'll worship Him whether our friends leave us or not. What if your families disown you? To that, I want to say welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Because we have a lot of people in our church whose families have disowned them when they've become Christians. Welcome to the club. What if you go through hard times? Welcome to the club. We have a lot of people in our church going through hard times. But I would love to say that our church is filled with those who won't deny Jesus anyway. Amen? And even if Jesus meets your needs, gives you a new car, gives you a new job, heals you of your sickness, or not, we're going to live for Him anyway. Amen? Because He's coming back. And I look forward to Him coming back on the white horse. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you, if you need prayer for healing, stay after service. I'm going to dismiss first, but we want to pray for you. Okay? If I'm greeting people, just hang out. If you can't hang out, Pastor Bob's going to be here. He can pray for you as well. Our steering committee guys can pray for you as well. But I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask you something. If you're here today, and you declare that you will be a Christ follower. Moving forward, not looking at your past, moving forward, you will follow Christ regardless of your circumstances and regardless of other people. If you declare today, I will take a stand for Jesus. When I pray in a second, I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't do this a lot, you know that. But I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and surrender and say, God, I will follow you. Okay, to raise your hand and surrender. We don't do this where I always ask you to move your hands and stuff because I think that's weird. But I think for this, it's applicable. Just as a way of saying, God, I surrender to you. Just like if a cop pulled out his gun, you're like, whoa. In the same way, Jesus, you pull out the Holy Spirit, I'm surrendering to you. I'm going to ask you to stand. And my prayer is this, we will stand united as an army for Christ. Amen? That we will stand united as an army for Christ because He's worthy. Because He's worthy. Because He's the King of all kings and a Lord of all lords. So I'm going to pray. When I say, if you're ready to commit to that, you're going to stand. I'm going to pray some more. We're going to worship. We're probably going to sing a song because Pastor did an awesome job preaching short today. And we're going to celebrate and worship the Lord. Amen? Let me pray for you. I'm a little parched. Let me take care of this first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord God, we worship You today.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, I'm so thankful for Your Word. I'm so thankful for Your Word that ends with a big picture of You win. And I thank You that You've called us to be on Your side, God. That You've called us to enlist as an army, serving You and living for You. And I pray today that our church would be full of not just people who say they're Christians in name, but we would be full of Christ followers who will follow You till the end. I pray today that You would help us, God, to do that. For those who have sin in their hearts, I pray right now that You would convict them of sin and they would come to know You once again as their Savior. Hallelujah. Before we move on, if you have sin between you and God, pray now. Pray now. Today is the day of salvation. As I look over our sanctuary here, I look and I see everybody in this building has heard the gospel. You know you can call out to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and you know He will. So if that's you, let's just take a moment and pray. Why don't we do that before we move on? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, you can repeat this prayer with me if you like. Jesus, I love You, Lord. I admit my sins to You. You've seen my life. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I've denied You. And I know that You died on the cross for my sin. And I know that You rose again to prove to the world that it's true. So today, in light of that, I ask You to forgive me. I confess my sins to You. If that's you right now, just take a second and confess your sins. Talk to the Lord. Tell Him what your sins are. Confess them to God. Lord, I confess them to You. And today I choose with Your help to repent of those sins. That from this day forward, Lord, with Your help, I will never do them again. I will turn my back on the old way of life and begin walking towards You. Forgive me. Wash me clean. And help me to be a true follower of Christ. I commit my life to You. You are my King. You are my Lord. I worship You. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now if you're here and you're willing to take a stand for Christ, just do that now. If you're willing to say, I will stand for Jesus and I choose today to follow Him regardless of our circumstances, stand where you are and let's begin to raise our hands and worship to Him. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our voice to Him and worship Him today. Jesus, we love You, God. Today, Lord, we exalt You as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. God, I pray today, right now, Jesus, that You would reach out and touch Your people today. We declare today we will live for You, God, regardless. And today I pray pray that you would draw your people to you. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. I pray that God, when they're tempted to give in, when they're tempted to be poked down by the world or by the devil, I pray in Jesus' name that you would strengthen them and they would refuse to bow to any other God but you. I pray in your holy name, Jesus. Have your way today, I pray. Hallelujah. We exalt you. We worship you. We will live for you regardless. Regardless. That when things are dark, you're still our God. And when our people turn their back on you, you're still our God. When you don't answer our prayers the way we want, you're still our God. When we don't get the healing the way we want, you're still our God. Because we trust you and you are God. And we worship you. And we look forward to your return. You are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.